My dear brothers and sisters in Jesus and in our Blessed Mother. Last week, as part of the series of talks on the Eucharist, we reflected on the Bread of Life discourse and the Old Testament. And I had suggested that there are three themes that connect the Bread of Life discourse in the Gospel of John with the Old Testament. The first was the murmuring of the Jews in the Gospel of John, which is linked to the murmuring of the Israelites against Moses. The second theme was the manna that Moses gave. And this manna is contrasted with the manna that Jesus gives. And the third thing I said was that the question and answer format during the Jewish Passover meal is the structure in which John formats the Bread of Life discourse. In other words, Jesus is the elder of the family, as it were. And the people ask Jesus the questions, even the difficult questions, and Jesus gives them answers. And today we move forward to examine the history of the controversy of the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. The controversy is as old as the Gospels themselves. There are many people who have trouble understanding the reality of the body and blood of Christ in the bread and wine. And look at this. The crowds in the Gospel of John quarreled, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" The same kind of questions that people ask today. And Jesus' answer to that question stresses two things. First, he says, "The bread that I will give is my flesh." Very clear. And second, "My flesh is real food and my blood is real drink." So he's taking away any symbolism of the bread and wine as merely representing his presence. No, he calls this real flesh and real drink. The controversy continues today. In a survey done, only 30% of the Catholics believed that the bread and wine they received at Eucharist was indeed the body and blood of Jesus. And I can safely bet you that the 70% who do not believe probably have not read the Bread of Life discourse in John's Gospel. Now, let me give you the context in which John is emphasizing the reality of the body and blood, or the flesh of the Son of Man. The Gospel of John is written over a span of 50 years. While the other three Gospels and the New Testament letters were completed by about 75 AD at the latest, John was not completed till 95 AD. And when John's Gospel was being composed, groups such as the Docetics and the Gnostics were inclined to emphasize the spirit in opposition to the flesh. As a result, there were believers who were beginning to question the incarnation of Christ. Now we know why John begins his gospel with, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." So John is emphasizing the reality here, flesh, Jesus, in the personhood of a human being. Similarly, some people were beginning to doubt the reality of the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist. So once again, John makes the effort to counter the docetic and Gnostic heresies by emphasizing the reality of the bread and wine being the flesh and blood of the Son of Man. That's why Jesus in today's gospel reading says, "For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." Now, like John, most of the early church fathers stressed the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. So, for example, Ignatius of Antioch, Justin the Martyr, Clement of Alexandria, Tertullian, Ambrose, and other church fathers, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist is taken for granted. Now, these men were men who immediately succeeded the apostles. Remember that. And they take the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist as a given. But problems began to arise in the way later theologians began to interpret the writings of Saint Augustine. Now, Augustine, he believed in the body and blood of Christ. And he says, once the bread and wine is sanctified, it is the body and blood of Christ. However, Augustine used the word sacrament in relation to the Eucharist. And thus far, the word sacrament was not used of the Eucharist. Now, for most people, sacrament is a sign. So theologians began to interpret the Eucharist as merely a sign or a symbol of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection. That was not Augustine's intention, but that's how the word sacrament began to be interpreted. And though the most prominent of these theologians was a person by the name of Berengar of Tours, who in the 11th century represented all those who questioned the real presence. Berengar's reasoning was very simple. According to him, the mind saw things just as they are, in their very essence, and therefore, what was seen was the very essence of things. So if what we see on the altar is bread, then it is bread. It's not the body. If it were the body, you would see flesh and blood. So he begins to interpret Augustine in that very symbolic sense. Now, Thomas Aquinas comes later in the 12th century and gave us the word transubstantiation. And that was his way of explaining how the bread and wine is actually not the bread and wine, but even though it looks like the bread and wine, it is actually the body and blood of Christ. Now, during the Reformation, many Protestant reformers denied the real presence of Christ. For some of them, you don't need the Eucharist. You're saved by faith alone and grace alone and scripture alone. Not even the church that Christ founded could be an intermediary in the work of salvation. But Luther, Martin Luther, was the only reformer who insisted in the real presence of the Eucharist, but only at the moment of consecration and at the moment of communion. The presence of Christ does not endure beyond these moments. But the Council of Trent in the 16th century reaffirmed the Catholic position, in which the real presence of Christ was firmly asserted as the real presence. Christ is really present, and it depended on its teaching on the Gospel of John and the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11. Now, for us though, what shall we make of these, of the history of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist? My dear friends, let me offer just 3 points. Most evangelical churches interpret John's bread of life discourse as Jesus giving himself not as flesh and blood, but His Word. So for them, flesh is the Word of God. Now, let's presume that it's true. And even if that is true, the fullness of the Catholic Eucharistic celebration does not exclude the Word, isn't it? The Mass begins with the readings from Scripture. The Catholics do not exclude the Word for the Eucharist or the Eucharist for the Word. The Eucharist contains both these elements. Vatican II called the Eucharist the summit of all our worship. It is the perfect worship that a Christian offers to the Father. And it contains both the Word and the flesh. Remember what Jesus said in last week's Gospel. Whoever believes has eternal life. And do we believe that? My second point. We have something to learn from Martin Luther as far as his faith in the real presence and Scripture is concerned. When it came to the real presence, Luther believed that in comparison to everything else that everyone else was saying, he would rather take the words of the Gospel seriously. And so, taking the realism of John's Gospel, my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink, seriously, Luther continued to believe in the real presence. So, here's the point. The Word of God, which is the Scripture, led him to the sacrament. And as Catholics, we need to immerse ourselves even more and more in God's Word. God's Word leads us to the sacrament. And the sacrament leads us to the Word. And my third point. The most serious implication of the words of Jesus in the Bread of Life discourse is this. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you do not have life within you. What a powerful statement. From a Christian perspective, there is life and then there is life. Both of these are a gift from God. We have one life to live on earth, just one. And each of us knows how precious and dear that life is. However, God offers the opportunity to take that life beyond this earthly life. In many ways, our journey toward that life begins in baptism. But as Jesus says in today's Gospel reading, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And let us then choose life. My dear friends, in a few moments we will come here to receive the food that is the flesh and blood of the Son of Man. And this is real food and real drink. Let us with the Apostle and with the Church Fathers and with Christians down the centuries, reaffirm our faith in the Eucharist and let us receive the Body and Blood of Christ, because whoever believes has eternal life. Amen.